What is interesting about this, however, is that on the one hand, enclosure, segregation, cutting off Jews from the outside world is an attempt to remove the possibilities of Jewish-Christian encounter that I just described. But is it really? In other words, is the ghetto really hermetically sealed off? And the answer is, it is not. The ghetto walls are open during the day. In other words, the entrances going in and out. At night, they are closed. But clearly, what you do is you take a lot of Jews and you urbanize them. In other words, you concentrate them in urban areas. So one aspect of this is the urbanization of the Jewish community of Italy, perhaps the first urban centers. If you know anything about modern Jewish history, you know that urbanization creates cultural contact, creates discrepancies between rich and poor, in other words, economic stratification, all of the characteristics of the modern city and its meaning in terms of European culture, for example. Clearly, this begins to happen in some respect already in the 16th century. The ghetto creates the opportunity, therefore, of Jews living side by side with Christians. Yes, they're cut off by walls. But if you've ever been in the ghetto in Venice, for example, you can hear the church bells, you can hear the choir singing, you can smell all of the smells of the larger community. You're walking around areas in which you become part of the natural landscape. You see, the other aspect of ghetto is entitlement. What is the opposite of ghetto? The opposite of ghetto is expulsion. Remember, this is a world of expulsion. The Jew has no place to go. What the ghetto is doing is saying, this is Jew world. This is the Jewish land here. This is where Jews live. May not be a pretty place. May be congested. May be dirty, sequestered. There are better places to live. But it is a definition of a Jewish legal status within a Christian space. And what that does, therefore, is to create a sense on the part of Jews that they are living within a world which is they are entitled to live in. In other words, they become more Venetian, they become more Roman, they become more a part of the landscape, they become more Italian. Italian is not the right word to use here because we're still speaking about city-states and local variations between culture. There's no such thing as Italy in the 16th century except for a peninsula. But nevertheless, we are speaking about Jews becoming more a part of a landscape. In other words, there is a certain paradox about the ghetto. Instead of seeing it as a segregated quarter, we are seeing it as an opportunity for very close interactions between Jews and Christians. Let me illustrate that in the remaining moments that I have by giving you two examples. And by the way, in my other set of lectures, not that I want to be advertising here, I devote a whole lecture to the ghetto, which takes it in a little bit different way, but certainly reinforces what I'm saying here. The two examples, or the two illustrations, one is the printing press. I've already spoken a little bit about print. I will continue to speak about print because that is a very important part of the knowledge explosion of early modern Jewish culture. One of the major centers of printing is in Venice. Venice produces Hebrew books galore. The first great printer of Hebrew books in Venice is a man named Daniel Bomborg, a Christian who comes down from Antwerp, which was also a center of Hebraic printing, and begins to print the first Talmud. The first printed Talmud is Bomborg's Talmud. The first what is called Mikraot Gedolot, that is a rabbinic Bible, the biblical text, Rashi on one side, and a whole series of other commentators around him and so on. These books are sold within Venice, they're sold throughout Italy, they're sold to Jews and Christians alike, and then they're also transported to the Ottoman Empire, to Eastern Europe, to the rest of the world. In other words, these books help to create a early modern Jewish culture that transcends the local boundaries of Italy and unite what is an Ashkenazic culture far away in Eastern Europe with an Italian culture, with a Sephardic culture, with all of these mixtures of Jewish cultures. So that the printing press is indeed a remarkable example of how open this ghetto world is and is not closed. And the other example, and the final example I want to give you, is the entrance of the Jew into the university. In Venice, using that example again of the Venetian ghetto, Jews begin to send their children to a place called Padua, which is the major medical school of this area. And there, from the end of the 16th century on, Jews are matriculating within a university. In the Middle Ages, that was not really possible. In this age, it becomes an extremely prominent feature of Jewish culture. For the first time, hundreds of Jews are being educated as doctors with medical degrees from universities. There's a long tradition, of course, of Jewish doctors before this. And what emerges then is a class of Jewish physicians who are also rabbis, who are also educated Jews, who have somehow been able to fuse the larger culture of science and medicine into their own understanding of their Jewish identity. And therefore, the example of print on the one hand and the university on the other suggest a very different image of what we might consider the ghetto to be. The ghetto was an attempt to enclose, but it actually succeeded in integrating Jewish and general culture in ways unimagined by its originators.